This episode of Synchronize would ideally be watched in its video format, which is available for free at thesyncbook.com. However, we have made this MP3 podcast available for ease of transport. Maybe when you get home, you should watch the video. Just saying.
This is Joe Alexander from Barely Human on YouTube, and you're listening to SyncBook Radio from thesyncbook.com.
In our previous episode, we remarked on the adage that the death of one is a tragedy, while the death of millions is a statistic, when we examined the correlation and hypocrisy of the seemingly different reactions to sensationalized stories of local killers juxtaposed with the large-scale devastation caused by war. Well, this week we've seen another horrific school shooting in Oregon, and more military dart throwing on the world stage. Notably, the U.S. strike on an Afghani civilian hospital that took more than double the number of innocent lives. Though I am saddened by the violence and heartbreak in both stories, I take a small amount of solace in the fact that I've seen so many people comparing the two attacks and recognizing the point I attempted to make in episode 5. Also interesting is that I used the Surf Vietnam billboard from Back to the Future 2 as the artwork for that episode. 2 days later, Universal Pictures also spoofed an advertisement from that same scene, releasing a parody trailer for Jaws 19. How else might life imitate art, or art imitate life, or whatever is happening here? To find out, we once again turn back the clock to 2014 and revisit the Radio 8 Ball Show.
The next question comes from Heather. Heather, come on up. Bring her on up. Heather, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
I was nervous about the violator picking me.
Why?
That's like a pattern. No.
All right. Well, Heather, would you tell us what your question is for the Bob Oracle? It's a long one.
I ramble. Okay, so...
You do it.
Are my dreams some other reality existing in a world because they seem so real and familiar? Is it another reality? Is it a past life? Or is it a bunch of imaginary bullshit? And I mean that like everybody, not like selfishly, just my...
Well, let's start with yours.
Yeah,
you're holding the space for everybody
right now.
You are.
Yeah.
Everyone who's watching the show now... or in the future, watching
forevermore.
This moment, everyone is here. That's the amazing thing about film and what we explore with synchromysticism. Once you record something, it takes on the energy of everyone who is watching it at any time. So, well, to engage the Pop Oracle, you now get to spin the Wheel of Eight.
Na, 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 na,
na, Wheel of Eight.
Song number two, It's Because They Are in Love.
Yes. It's Because They Are in Love.
Jen and Jamie pace around the waterfront through senior housing, the city sewers, eternal flame. They pass a nearby ice cream scoop, but she knows not to ask, 'cause he's lactose allergic and freaking in theory, and freaking in theory. And I know it's because they are in love. I wish that it were me instead of him. Some kind of new love would take me in and say, come on, baby, why are you waiting? I've been hating everyone but you. I've been hating everyone but you. Jamie's left arm falls asleep under the weight of his love, so tender beside him. She's 105 pounds, now he's 2 in a million. His hair will fall into her face, the bunny teeth will scrape each other. Piece of the heart when she chews on his ear, and I wonder if they're happy and it's real. And I know it's because they are in love. I wish that it were me instead of him. Some kind of new love would take me in. Say, come on, baby, fear is fading. I've been hating everyone but you. I've been hating everyone but you.
That was It's Because They Are in Love, performed by Peter David Connolly of the Mona Reels. The answer to Heather's question about her dreams, are they past lives, or another reality, or just imaginary bull? Well, what do you think, Heather?
Well, a couple things stood out in there. I biked over here, and there's a line about an ice cream shop, and I saw an old couple in the ice cream, like this old couple, and I just thought, oh, that's so sweet, old couple getting ice cream. And then when I was biking downtown, I saw this other couple that I know, and just thinking, they are just the sweetest couple ever. And I had this dream last night about my ex-boyfriend, and it stayed with me all day, kind of, and it was so real, you know? But he was kind of, he turned into this almost crackhead seeming creature in it, but I was still desiring him. But I know, like, I don't in real life.
You're probably
him.
Feeling the energy of the old royal.
Yeah. That's it. I wasn't here when there was an old royal. I only know it as this.
Peter, I didn't ask you. Give us a little bit of background on that song. I know a little bit, but there's an interesting synchronicity there.
Well, it was sort of... I don't know if there's a huge amount of background, but it was a sort of fictional romance that I dreamed up between a friend of mine and, you know, the producer guy who
we don't talk about it.
Slandered me in the press, basically, is what happened. That's why the falling out happened.
Yeah. But before that, He was sort of the guy in this song.
Yeah.
It was like a dream. I always think that songs are like dreams. Like you say that, especially like you're saying, like a song like the one you're saying where you wrote it very quickly and it just comes out. It's like
this one was quick too.
Yeah. So they are these, like, you go into this different state and you're creative and something comes out and it's like a singing and a waking dream. So I thought that was interesting. That song always reminds me of Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks.
I could see that.
The couple in it kind of remind me of that.
It's also just the, you know, certain things obviously in that are just my attempt at trying to be funny.
Like Freegan in
like
theory.
Freegan, yeah. Maybe I can be the first person to write a pop song with the word Freegan in it or something.
Yeah. Did it.
I don't know if I'd accomplished that goal or not.
Well, you did write a pop song, and it did have Freegan in it, so unless there's someone
else. But I mean
there,
being the first, you know.
No. Anyway, I don't know how we'd find that out.
Internet.
Someone do a Google search for pop songs with the word Freegan in it and see what we get.
Does everyone know what it means to be Freegan? Probably not. It means that you are vegan unless it's in a dumpster or something. Like, you'll eat meat if it doesn't create more of it, or dairy or whatever, animal products.
If someone else is paying for it.
I thought it wasn't necessarily...
If someone else was... Well, I had some friends who were freegans, and if someone else paid for the meat, then they ate it.
Maybe I understood it wrong, because I thought that would be a no-no.
The hardcore ones, dumpster dive.
Because if they're paying for it, you're still kind of creating it, really.
Let's
hypocrisy. Let's bring it back to dreams, the whole thing. Let's bring it back to dreams. Are dreams reality?
Are they?
Well, I think the answer that I get out of this, and it's not a very direct answer, is that, I mean, this song is a dream. Like, a song is a dream, a piece of art is a dream, and these are these questions it's even in the way you do it, you sort of ramble through it, because I don't think you're really looking for an answer. You're looking to continue the dream. Like, even in this waking reality, you're questioning the dream is still a part of the dream. Mm-hmm. You can't escape it.
Right.
Let's get back to what I asked at the beginning. What's real? Is the dream real?
When you said that, I was like, you're going to have my question.
Yeah. Is the dream real or is this real? Yeah. Right now.
I know.
How am I not myself? How am I not myself? How am I not myself? How am I not myself?
Yeah.
Sorry. That's a little... That was me doing a scene from My Heart Huckabees. Thank you very much.
That's a great.
Now, I hope that helped you, and if it didn't,
great.
I hope it was fun.
Was.
Okay, Heather, would you pick the last audience guest on Radio 8 Ball? What?
Good looking out. Can I look?
No. Okay, now you get a prize. Just gonna get this one.
Nice.
From Ezra Sanzer-Bell, who delivered that great exegesis at the beginning. Hold it up so everyone can see. Astro Music. Available at Last Word Books. Thank you very much, Heather.
At the opening of this episode, I chose to focus on the present day reaction to the last installment of this series, and how it showed up in current nightmarish events locally and globally. But in doing so, I may have glanced over a more dream-centered interpretation of Heather's interaction with the Pop Oracle. She begins her question with a joke about being picked by the Violator.
I was nervous about the Violator picking me. That's like a pattern.
And then asks a question about dreams that, in her interpretation, she tells us was inspired by a dream about her ex-boyfriend.
And I had this dream last night about my ex-boyfriend, and it stayed with me all day, kind of. And it was so real, you know? But he was he turned into this almost crackhead-seeming creature in it, but I was still desiring him. But I know, I don't in real life.
Add to this Peter David Connolly song, It's Because They Are in Love, which he describes as about a fictional relationship, which is to say, a dream relationship.
A fictional romance that I dreamed up.
And I wonder if they're happy and it's real.
Shmushkin even compares the song to the Kinks' achingly romantic classic, Waterloo Sunset.
That song always reminds me of Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks.
As long as I gaze on Waterloo Sunset, I am in paradise.
When we see all of this fantasy set against the nightmarish world of mass murderers run amok, these simple scenes of an elderly couple sharing an ice cream cone or an ex you no longer have feelings for showing up in your dream to remind you that you still love them, the true nature of Heather's question becomes evident, and we are back to the beginning.
I don't think you're really looking for an answer. You're looking to continue to continue the dream. Like, mm-hmm. even in this waking reality, you're questioning the dream is still a part of the dream. Mm-hmm. You can't escape it.
Right.
Let's get back to what I asked at the beginning. What's real? Is the dream
when
real?
When you said that, I was like, you're going to have my question.
Yeah, is the dream real or is this real?
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? What is real is that everyone wants to ask that question, but very few actually want an answer. So you and I will both hold tight as we await more clues, which you will get if you stay tuned for episode 7 and the next question.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from Syncbook Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so much more content waiting for you at thesyncbook.com. Tune into our other Syncbook Radio programs, including 42 Minutes, Always Record, The Marty Leeds Mathmagical Radio Hour, Pentimental, Synchronize, Sync Quick News, as well as our most recent editions, Fine Just Fine and Hypnosis. Our newest episodes are always free, and members get access to our full archive of over 600 hours. You'll find all of this, as well as our books and videos, at thesyncbook.com.